Welcome to Online Worship at St. Mary's. Due to technical difficulties, today's service has not been fully recorded. However, we do close with a pre-recorded worship song, which we hope that you'll enjoy. The Lord bless you.
Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 2, verses 10 to 12, and then taking it up again in chapter 3 at verse 3. Then David rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. He had reigned for 40 years over Israel, 7 years in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his rule was firmly established. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sure, you're all probably thinking it might have been better if the microphone had stayed on the floor. Did you say there are only two people in the hall? If there's only two people in the hall, it must be King Tony and Queen Catherine. Isn't that right? Maybe they're hoping the microphone fails as well. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that for each of us, we would know that you're speaking to us, Lord, that we'd hear something from you, Lord, that would enable us to live lives that are worthy of the calling that you've placed on us. Invite your spirit to come into our midst and minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jim mentioned, the last few weeks we've been looking at the life of David. I think a lot of the things to come out of it are, you know, David, yes, he was a great king, but he was a flawed individual. You know, he was full of pride, he was stubborn, he was a liar, he was full of lust. And he had a difficulty with resisting temptation, difficulty with raising his children, his family. At the beginning of his life, he was passionate for God, fearless, energetic, charismatic, and then life happens, gets older. And we're looking at Solomon this morning, there's a hint of the same sort of things. And to me, as opposed to these are great kings, how can we ever be like them? They're kings, but we are like them because we are sinners, we're full of pride, and we're stubborn. And so in a sense, we can learn from what we're reading about David and Solomon. Last few weeks, we've covered about David becoming king, moving the ark, about committing adultery with Bathsheba and killing Uriah, Nathan rebuking David, And then last week we looked at the death of Absalom. So this week, David dies, and Solomon, one of his sons, becomes king. Now Solomon is the son of David and Bathsheba. And God appears to him in a dream and says, "And what shall I give you?" Solomon says, "Give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." God says, "Because you've not asked for long life for the death of your enemies, I will give you a wise and discerning mind, but I'll give you these other things as well." And then at the end of the passage, he says, "And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And I want you to hold that verse in your mind. So before we actually look in detail at the passage, let's see what's happened since Absalom was killed. It's probably only about 3 years, because David was already old whenever Absalom rebelled. So he's got rid of that rebellion about 3 years, and there isn't a smooth succession, because Adonijah, another one of David's sons, looked like he was maneuvering to become king. And he calls a big party with all the sort of the big nobles, but not Solomon, because I think he's looking for them to say, "David's about to die, you're going to be our king." Nathan the prophet, who we've looked at before, gets in the mix, tells David about it, tells Bathsheba, and Bathsheba gets David, who's about to die, the name Solomon as her son, because apparently David had made a previous promise to her. And then David gives final guidance to Solomon. It says, it's not in the passage we're looking at it, but it happens just before that. And David gives him guidance, and he says, "Observe what the Lord your God requires, walk in his ways, keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses." And you remember we looked at a passage in Deuteronomy 17, which is what a king should do. You know, he has to be appointed by God, he has to know the law, and he's to follow the law, he's to read it every day. So David's saying, "Do this so that you, Solomon, can prosper in all you do and wherever you go. And that the Lord may keep his promise to me," that's to David, "if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." So David's given advice to his son Solomon. And I suppose the question for us is, do we raise our sons and daughters and guide them? Or do we try to be their mates, to be their best friends? What's important regarding our children? Is it how successful they are, what they do, where they live, rather than how they live? Is that not what's important? So David's given advice to Solomon, but he also names people Solomon needs to deal with or to leave alone or to watch. Joab basically says, "Joab's done bad things in the past. You need to get rid of him. You need to get rid of Shimei, who cursed him. Don't touch some others who stood by me when Absalom rebelled." And then basically David dies, which is the verse that Jim read, rested with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David. So what Solomon then does is a day of reckoning. It's like a bloodbath, something from The Sopranos or The Godfather. Benaniah, who becomes Solomon's right-hand man or executioner, kills Adonijah. He kills Joab. Joab goes into the tent of the Lord and holds onto the horns of the altar, and Benaniah still goes in and kills him. Solomon is getting rid of rivals. And after all that, it says, the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. And then we come to this passage where God says, "What do you want me to give you?" It happens in a dream. And what happens is Solomon sacrifices at Gibeon, 1,000 cattle or sheep or whatever, 1,000 animals at Gibeon. It's called a high place. And we need to look at the context. What, you know, where's this passage sitting in? And just before this passage, verse 1 of chapter 3, says Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places, however, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord. And then at the start of this passage, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And I want you also to hold that word, the high places, because we're going to look at that later. And the thing that springs to mind is he sacrificed 1,000 animals. And you know why later on we hear to obey is better than sacrifice? And you think, what are you doing at Gibeon, Solomon? The tent of the Lord is in Jerusalem. If you're going to worship, why not worship there? But I say, we're going to look at that later on. So when the Lord appears to Solomon in the dream, he asks him, what should I give you? So if you could ask for anything, what would it be? Anything. Oh, this story would fall down here because Solomon wouldn't reply. If you could ask for anything, what would you ask for? The lottery? A lot of folk might say, I'd love to win the lottery, love a lot of money. Just remember, money can't buy you happiness. Just helps you look for it in comfort. Sorry, that was a wee aside that I shouldn't have thrown in. But you know, you ask a lot of people, what would you want? Oh, give me lots of money. That would be great. Others might ask for long life, or I would like to be happy, or stuff. I want things. I want to surround myself with bling or whatever. The world's answer is probably different from ours. I want to just look at one thing. Note what the Lord says. He doesn't actually say to Solomon, what do you want? He says, ask what I should give you. There's a subtle difference from the Lord saying, what do you want, to what do you want me, the Lord, to give you? And Solomon was given understanding to lead and serve his people. That's what he asked for. And it's extremely worthy. He wanted wisdom, discernment, to lead his people properly, to know the difference between good and evil. Now, again, we can look at these things and say, well, look, we're not Solomon. You know, who are we to ask for things like that? But I know I was joking earlier about King Tony and Queen Catherine next door, but Jesus made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve the Lord. We are somebody because of Jesus. And to me, this question that the Lord asks, it's not what do you want, Solomon, but what do you want me to give you, brings a spiritual dimension into it. It brings the Lord into it. And it's like our lives. It's not about what we want, but what the Lord wants. What should he do with us? It's not what we want to do. Where does he want to go? Want us to go, not where we want to go. And look at what Solomon asks for and why. He asks for an understanding mind to govern the Lord's people, that he could discern between good and evil. He wants to govern wisely because I think Solomon has an idea of the task ahead. He knows his limitations and he's asking for God's help. And again, I think that should be us. We know that the Lord has got work for us, but we also know our inadequacies. I know I certainly know my inadequacies. So we ask for the Lord's help, for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to empower us. So God gives Solomon the wise and discerning mind he asked for, and he gives him riches and honor anyway. But what is wisdom? Proverbs 3:19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. Wisdom was there at the beginning. And I'm not talking about knowledge, but knowledge with understanding, because wisdom is not simply knowledge. Knowledge is, who won the FA Cup in 1966? Everton, come on. Everybody must know it was Everton. What is the highest mountain in Northern Ireland? Slieve Donard. That's knowledge. It's the sort of stuff you might ask Alexa. Although we don't have Alexa on in our house because we don't like people listening to us. But, you know, it's the sort of thing you might ask Alexa. That's knowledge. But wisdom is more than that. It's more than knowledge. Wisdom is more questions like, what's the purpose of life, or what am I doing with my life? Knowledge is information. Wisdom is discernment. And I came across this description, which I think sums it up quite well. Knowledge understands the traffic light has turned red. Wisdom applies the brakes. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom walks around it. Knowledge memorizes verses of scripture. Wisdom obeys them. Knowledge learns about the character and the attributes of God. Wisdom loves him. So wisdom is so much more than knowledge. Daniel 2:21, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And in Job 28:28, and he said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Do you remember when the ark was been moved and Uzzah reached out and touched it? David, at that point, says David became afraid because he suddenly really grasped the fear of the Lord. Wisdom means that we take insights, that we learn from the knowledge of God's ways, and we apply them in our daily lives. And the Bible sees wisdom as a gift from God. And if that's divorced from the revelation of God, it's a shadow of what it could be. The world's wisdom is nothing if God isn't at the center of it. So God graciously imparted wisdom to Solomon. He did it to others. In Acts, it talks about Stephen. When people were arguing with Stephen, it said in Acts 6:10, but they couldn't understand the wisdom and the spirit with which he, Stephen, was speaking. Joseph, not Jesus' father, but Joseph as in Egypt in the Old Testament, it talks about the patriarchs who were jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him and rescued him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all his household. God gives wisdom.
Same God never failed, will not fail me.